The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. My name is Sam Norris and I'll be joined in this edition of the podcast by Stephen Powell to have a look ahead towards Wednesday's meetings as well as a little roundup on the news as well. How are you today, Stephen?
Yeah, very good, thank you, Sam.
Good stuff. We'll have a look shortly at the 3:50 at Cheltenham on Wednesday, the 3:30 at Newmarket and the 4:05 at Newmarket as well. But first off, Stephen, what about that run from Kingman in the Greenham at the weekend? I mean, he just pressed the button and kicked on at the end, didn't he? Embarrassed the field almost.
Well, yeah, and embarrassed a good field as well at that, Sam. That's the thing. I mean, he wasn't just sort of beating a bunch of old goats. There were some good horses in that lineup, and he really, really has just left them for dead in tremendous style. I mean, whether I back him at even money for the guineas when we haven't seen the next three in the betting even sight a race course yet, although that's going to change shortly, I'm not so sure. But I mean, I saw him on his debut at Newmarket last year, and he was in a field of horses that were all unraced. And I mean, I wouldn't say I have a paddock eye as such, but you could instantly tell he was the best looking horse in that field. And I had a quick chat with our own Ken Pitterson, who was there as well. He stood out by a mile. Obviously, he dotted up there. Won at Sandown, not so impressively because he had a little problem, which they've took the time, sorted out. And as I say, he's beaten the likes of the Middle Park, Jim Crack, Mill Reef winner, and the Royal Lodge winner all on Saturday in great fashion. And well, it's very exciting. I mean, if that doesn't whet your appetite for the flat season, I don't think anything will, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned not backing him there at evens. He is the market leader at evens at the moment for the 2,000 guineas. Australia, 7-2, Tummore, 6-1, Kingston Hill, 9-1, Walkerman, 12-1. Any of those tickling your fancy, really, for the guineas? Because evens is a bit shorter back Kingman.
It is at the moment. To be honest, I'd rather just see how we turn up on the day, because obviously Tummore's due to run. He's been declared for the Craven on Thursday at Newmarket as well, over a mile. He'll get a sighter of the course beforehand. Kingston Hill, Racing Post Trophy winners haven't got a great record in the guineas. Camelot did it, of course, a couple of years ago. But before that, you've got to go a fair way back to find a horse that did that double. And obviously, he's likely to be better over further in time. Well, in Australia, Aidan O'Brien's done the old talking up. This is the best horse or one of the best horses we've ever had, etc., etc. And whilst his form is decent, I mean, his six-length defeat of Free Eagle was very impressive. He's from a decent family, that of Galileo, and obviously had the wonderful mare Ouija Board. He really is an outstandingly bred horse. Instinct would say that he's going to be better. By a Derby winner out of an Oaks winner, instinct says he's going to be better, and he might just be tapped for a bit of toe. Although he's shown speed, but I think against natural milers like Kingman and Tamori, he might just get done for a bit of speed, possibly. But if they all line up, those four, plus then Walkerman, the US winner, and a few others, it's going to be a great great renewal. And Kingman's really sort of got the ball rolling, and we get to see, like I say, we get to see Tamori. So we're going to have two horses at the top of the betting who've had a run, you know, and Tamori maybe as well, won both their trials, and then two horses who haven't been seen and probably will be better longer term over further. So it's a good race. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Should be an excellent race this year, and it's even whetting the appetite of diehard jumps fans as well, isn't it? Really,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people who only watch jumps racing who are also looking forward to the guineas.
Yeah, I mean, there's sometimes I have found before that my sort of because I do love both flat and jumps racing, but if you really push me, I am a jumps man. But if you get to this time of year, I'm still very much in jumps mode off the back of Cheltenham and Aintree. Obviously, a great weekend at Ayr. Still good racing to come at Sandown. But for the first time, I think, I know obviously Frankel was only 3 years ago, yeah, but for the first time in the 3 years since Frankel was at this point in his career, I'm really excited about the upcoming flat season. So, where every year I can't wait for the jump season.
Yeah.
So it's a rare occurrence.
Yeah, all right then. Good stuff. We'll get our teeth into the racing on Wednesday then. We're going to have a look at the 3:50 to start with from Cheltenham.
Yep.
Grade 2 limited handicap chase, 2 mile 5/3 on the trip, 10 runners down to go to post. Who do you like in this? I mean, it's called the Wooden Spoon, something or other, but there's a lot more at stake, isn't there, than the Wooden Spoon?
Yeah, 50 grand for a start. And this race, it's actually can be for a very valuable prize at Cheltenham, sometimes it doesn't prove to be the best race. But this year, I think we've got a very strong and competitive renewal. It's a limited handicap. They're all in the handicap as well, which is a very good thing. There's none of them racing from out of the weights, making life a little bit more difficult. And some good old names now. I mean, Pasha de Polder, who's a top weight, only seven. Feels like he's been around for absolutely ages, Pasha de Polder. But the two that I like are both novice horses who are improving. Number 5, Persian Snow, and number 8, Bywise. I'll start with the latter, Bywise, first. Rattled off a very impressive hat-trick around the likes of Ludlow on two occasions and at Taunton as well. Won those three races by a combined 25 lengths. And at the time, visually to watch, it was like, yeah, that's really impressive. But it was a case of, can he sort of translate that to better races, yeah, and good races? And for me, he did at Cheltenham when he ran in the Rewards for Racing Novices Handicap Chase on the first day of the festival. He was beaten by Present View. But his jumping was a little... He made a couple of bad mistakes. The fifth wasn't very fluent. Then he was a little bit close into three out. Then he made a bad mistake, two out, lost a fair amount of ground, but stayed on really well again towards the finish. And I think if he hadn't made that mistake, two out, he would have been a lot closer to the first couple that day. Obviously, there were 19 runners. There's only 10 of them here. They won't be going so fast. There won't be, yeah, the hustle and the bustle. And obviously, that will help him in terms of his lack of experience, if you will. And out of the two that I mentioned, he's the one that I prefer. Persian Snow also ran in that race at Cheltenham as well. He finished in sixth place, so he was just two lengths behind Bywise for Philip Hobbs and Richard Johnson. He'd been running at Warwick before that, including when he'd won a novice chase and a very valuable handicap chase quite comfortably on his handicap debut as well. He races off the same mark as he did at Cheltenham, and that run suggested, I think, that he has got form or ability to run well off that sort of handicap mark with more improvement to come, in the sense that, again, he was trying to make ground when he had not much room and was hampered two out, and then he was just one pace when he'd sort of hit the last and was passed on the running by Wise as well. But again, in that performance, there was potential going forward for a good performance, and I think in the same way, smaller fields, you know, no less likely to get hampered than he did at Cheltenham. And I think that he will also run a good race. But as I said, I do prefer Bywise out of the two. Of the others, they're all sort of exposed old handicap chasers that we know a lot about. You know, I mean, Weetak caught the eye. He's not had many starts. He caught the eye when he finished ninth in the Burn Group Plate at the Cheltenham Festival. I mean, he was tailed off at the top of the hill and he ended up being beaten 18 lengths by Ballynagore. But looking through his form, he's very untrustworthy sort. He's only won two of his 27 races, he's only won one race in the last 3 years. So although they put blinkers on, he pulled up at Aintree last week, so that doesn't really enamour me towards him. Noble Legend is very hit and miss. Carrick Boy is the same, although he did win at the Cheltenham Festival last year, so he may come good with some decent ground back at Cheltenham. And I think maybe the top two, Bally Legend and Pasha de Polder, are handicapped up to the hilt. So, you know, that sort of basically has eliminated most of them. Real Milan, I think, might run well. He appreciated the drop in trip last time and on the better ground, and obviously receiving weight all round, but this is a harder race than the one he was beaten in last time, yeah. So that doesn't really sweep, you know, lean me towards him. So Bywise and Persian Snow, the two against the field, and Bywise the one I prefer out of the two.
All right, then, fair enough. Bywise the pick, then, from Stephen in the 350 at Cheltenham. We'll go to Newmarket, the next one, the 330, and... interestingly, on this racing podcast, we actually have odds for tomorrow's race, recorded the day before. Shifting Power is leading the market, and he's came in a squeaks, opened at 2-1, is now 7-4. Mushir behind him, he's come out a squeak, opened at 5-2, now out to 11-4. Parbold 5-1, 13-2. Aeolus, thank you. 8-1, Miracle of Medina, and 9-1, Sayer. And we've got every horse in this race is looking pretty fresh. They've all come into this from quite a break. Shifting Power and Mushir, obviously top of the market there. Both unbeaten over their first two starts. And third in the betting, Parbold was a winner in this renewal last year for Richard Fahey, but he runs off top weight today. Do you think it's going to be between one of those three horses?
Yes, I do. I do, actually. In fact, to be honest, I think it'll be between the first two, Shifting Power and Mushir. We'll start sort of working backwards, say he wears a hood for the first time, had a bit of good form last year. He won the Richmond at Glorious Goodwood, but he was five lengths behind Parbold in the Jim Crack at York afterwards when he finished in sixth place. He's receiving £3 from Parbold. And I'm not sure that's going to be sufficient enough to reverse the form, personally. Now, say he's got very comparable form with Miracle of Medina on a line through a horse called Cable Bay, who Miracle of Medina beat at Newmarket by a length and a quarter in September. Sayer had beaten him when he won at Goodwood by a neck. And the form's similar. Miracle of Medina and Sayer, again, both showed a good level of form, but I don't think it's good enough to win this, is basically what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Aeolus is the same as well. Improved last year, won two races, looked a nice little horse at Chester and at York, was beaten three lengths on soft ground by Knight of Thunder at the back end of the season in the Doncaster Stakes at Doncaster, funnily enough. But Knight of Thunder was absolutely killed by Kingman on Saturday. And so again, whilst it's decent form, again, I'm not convinced it's good enough. He needs to leap up to match the front three. Parbold, his form's good. It's solid. I can't knock Parbold. He was very consistent last year. Second in the Coventry. Third behind Tamur. And just touched off by Astaire in the Jim Crack as well. The concern is obviously that he's got to concede weight to the other two. £6 to Shifting Power and £10 to Mushia. And I think that might be a hard task for him. And then we come to the top two. Mushia has only won his two races by a nose when he literally scraped home at Kempton. And he did the same then at York. Held up in rear, was hampered, switched to the outside and charged down the course. Got up about 100 yards from the line and then actually kept on well when sort of re-challenged near the line as well, which I was quite impressed by, that he sort of went again when another horse came to him. Based on those two efforts, I think another furlong will suit him. He gets in on bottom weight as well, so he's receiving weight all round, and I think he's a horse with potential. And the same goes for Shifting Power, actually, as well. I was at Newmarket when he won his second race, when he beat Treaty of Paris by six lengths in a novice race. Treaty of Paris subsequently won a Group 3 at York in the Acomb Stakes, so obviously boosted that form. He was receiving weight from all of the rivals that day, Shifting Power, except Shaheen Shah, who was last. And although when you sort of say, yes, he beat a Group 3 winner, it sounds good, but Treaty of Paris, for me, was an average, if possibly below average, Group 3 winner. Yeah. I mean, I might be pretty wrong this year. He might go and win loads of good races. But I didn't think his form was up there with the same that Parbold was beating and that sort of thing. So whilst it's probably ridiculous of me to suggest that I should take on a Richard Hannah Ryan Moore favourite, I'm going to, and I think Mushir might actually win. So because I think he only did enough last year, but he was impressive, not in the way visually to watch, but in the way he went about it and the way he stayed on, picks up past horses. And I think in receipt of so much weight from Parbold and receiving a bit of weight from Shifting Power as well, I think he might win. And Shifting Power and Parbold were the two that chase him home. In what order? I'm not sure.
Okay, then two horse race for Stephen then with Mushir, just to get his head in front in that one. The last race we're going to tackle on this podcast is the 405 from Newmarket, Class 1, 7 furlong contest, 15 runners down to go to post. And we've got unbeaten horses in this one as well in Eurocharline, Folk Melody and Pellerin. The betting at the moment, we have Sandiva is your 3-1 favourite, Dorothy B 5-1, Queen Katrine 6-1, Folk Melody 7-1. Eurocharline 8-1 and it's Tens Bar. Who'd you like for this one? And Sadiva at the top of the betting, is that appealing?
Well, she's the best. I think she's the best filly in the race. So it's not very original. She was quite impressive in her first two runs at Nottingham and Nace last year. Touched off by Kayoshi in the Albany when she was sent off favourite. And then very impressive when she won a Group 3 at Deauville on the 17th of August. Encountered soft ground for the first time when she was beaten by Indonesienne at Longchamp at the back end of last year in a race that's got quite a lot of form linked into this as well. There's two or three other mares who ran in that race who are in this as well. But I like the way she sort of went about it and her links with good horses. The form is pretty solid. So I think she's the rightful favourite. Dorothy B, I don't think her form is overly strong personally. But I don't want to say she isn't going to win, because John Gosden literally is in such great form at the moment that it will be a ridiculous thing to completely rule her out. She was just touched off by Joyeuse at Salisbury. Joyeuse finished third in the green, the Fred Darling at Newbury on Saturday. And I think that's where Joyeuse probably is. She's near the top of the tree, but she's not quite on the top.
Okay.
And that, I think, Dorothy B sort of bore that out a little bit when she was fifth in the Cheveley Park, the run after, when Vorda, Princess Noor and Kayoshi were the first three home, and Dorothy B was back in fifth place. And that formed through Kayoshi, and I mean, Joyeuse was actually behind her that day as well. So the form, again, it's all right, but it doesn't really excite me very much going forward. But unless John Gosden, like with some horses, has improved really well during the winter, which I wouldn't rule out, I think I might swerve her. Queen Katrine was a very, very consistent filly last year. Never had the first three in six races. Only the one win, which was at Ayr. But she was third behind Indonesian, and obviously several places in front of Sandiva at Longshaw. She was a good second at York. She was second at Ascot as well, which places her ahead of a longer gain, the Sir Michael Stout filly. And I think she's the solid one. And wherever she finishes, I think we'll say how good or bad the race is. If she's in the first three, I think, yeah, good, solid form. If she's out the back, I think ropey old renewal. So,
yeah.
I'm sort of neutral about her. I don't dislike her or really like her, but I think she's solid. Folk Melody, again, I saw her at Newmarket when she made her debut last year. The form's worked out really well. I mean, the handicappers give her a rating of 95. So I suppose the hand in a way has almost been forced to go straight into a group race as opposed to a handicap. But again, the form was solid. She was well fancied as well. Godolphin had more than one runner in the race and she won very nicely indeed. So I'm intrigued to see how she gets on. And this is the thing with these horses with potential. You just don't know how good they are. Euro Charline, she's won two all right races at Wolverhampton, and then they're putting her in this. It's put up £20. So again, their hand's been forced a little bit as well. They can't run her in another handicap. I think Majeda might run a good race. She was ninth in that race behind Queen Katrine and Sandiva at Longshaw, but she won really well over a mile here at Newmarket at the back end of last year, but that was on soft ground. That would be the only concern. The others, I think, are all going to struggle a little bit. But a positive word for the Sir Michael Stout filly, along again. Third, only just behind Queen Katrine, and she's not been seen since, so she might have improved while she's been off. All in all, quite an interesting and tricky renewal. I do think Sandiva's the best horse, and I do think Sandiva will win.
Yeah.
I think Folk Melody, she was really impressive for me, and I think she might run a good race for the Godolphin team. And Queen Katrine, again, banging the frame. I mean, it's 6-1 at the moment with us, Queen Katrine. At time of recordings, not a bad price. You know, if you want it, it's 15 runners, but she's solid and she'll run a race, Queen Katrine. So it's not original, but Sandiva, I think, is the most likely winner, to be honest. And I like Folk Melody and Queen Katrine to run good races as well. But good race.
Yeah, good stuff. And a couple of each way picks for our listeners to mull over. If you could just tie up your three best picks for Wednesday's racing, please, Stephen.
Yeah, the 350 to Cheltenham, the Grade 2 Silver Trophy Chase, is going to be buy wise. In the European Free Handicap at 330 at Newmarket, it's going to be the bottom one, Mushia, and then in the Nell Gwyn. Not original. I think Sandiva is the most likely winner, but just keep your eyes on Folk Melody as well. I think she could be a decent filly.
Okay, there you go then. The thoughts of Stephen Powell on this William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. Remember, you can listen to all the racing right here with us on William Hill's Racing Radio. Thanks for joining me today on the podcast, Stephen, and I hope you enjoy the racing.
I will, Sam. It's very good stuff.
Cheers. Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.